Amy Miller is a film producer and director and a longtime social justice organizer. She recently made a film entitled Myths for Profit, Canada's Role in Industries of War and Peace.
Amy, you're touring with a video right now called Myths for Profit, Canada's Role in Industries of War and Peace, that's dispelling myths about Canada. Can you talk about those?
Sure. So the documentary looks at three main myths, and the first one is Canada is a peacekeeping nation. The second one is Canada's military purpose is defense. And then the third one is Canada's aid and development policies are designed to help people around the world.
So those are things that most Canadians believe to be true. What kind of stuff do you have in the movie to try to dispel those?
Well, what I tried to do with the documentary is show how we've been fed these stories and how this has become essentially stories that have become mythology, but what is its basis and what are the realities? So when it comes to Canada as a peacekeeping nation, you know, we do look at how, yes, for many years, the majority of Canada's military involvement since the end of the Second World War was peacekeeping. But is that something we should be taking pride in? Right? When what the documentary puts forward is that these peacekeeping missions have essentially always had a political and economic gain aspect to it, at the you know, demise of other folks, and using the language of peacekeeping and helping people. So it then moves on to look at how it's very difficult to swallow the argument that our current missions, particularly right now in Afghanistan, can be held true to be peacekeeping missions, seeing as there is no peace, and arguably they're certainly not helping the people in Afghanistan. So that's the first myth. And there's a couple case studies that we look at. There's the Suez Crisis, and then we take a long look at Canada's involvement in the Balkan region in the 90s, as with such a huge peacekeeping mission, or so-called peacekeeping mission, for the Canadian military, and then our current involvement in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the second myth, Canada's military purpose is defense, the documentary explores how there is a huge corporate and military lobby alliance that has developed, and that's been ongoing, as there are so many manufacturing and component developments of weapon systems here in Canada. And it is quite a large industry. It does employ a lot of people, and it's a lot of money being made in the name of defense and national security, and that there are particular people have a vested interest in maintaining that military industry, and ensuring that it keeps on producing, regardless of any social or human costs that might incur. And so what the documentary tries to explore and examine is how we talk about defense, but if that was the case, then we have to acknowledge that when there has been the most security, you know, destructive situations going on, whether it be genocide or humanitarian crisis, the militaries around the world haven't responded to that, whereas there is vested interest, and that's never put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second part of the documentary. And then the third and concluding chapter of the documentary is the one that deals with Canada's aid policies. And what it does is it looks at how, you know, we have been conditioned into just, you know, kind of blindly following along that if we use the language development and poverty reduction and aiding people around the world, then it must be good, with very little scrutiny provided on what are the actual projects, and again, are there people behind the projects that might be tremendously profiting? And in the case of Canada, it is very sad, and it is very true. There are major agencies, whether it be projects funded through the Export Development Canada or projects funded through the Canadian International Development Agency, that have strong corporate interests. And there's a large kickback to Canadian corporations with development projects, and so many that it would be very far-fetched and difficult to say that it is poverty reduction and development, and I think the sense that most Canadians believe in. It's hard to understand why some of these projects that have such a negative impact environmentally and socially can also be using the language of development. And so so that's what the documentary explores. And it also looks at this idea that, you know, sometimes we help push for war, and then our military industries make money from the wars. And then afterwards, we have other Canadian corporations and agencies that profit in the reconstruction and the redevelopment of a post-conflict region, right? So, yeah, that's the documentary. And I would strongly suggest folks to check it out. We're going to be in Winnipeg on April 5th for our premiere in Winnipeg. And so we're only going to be there for a night, so if people can make it out, that would be great.
And that's at 7 p.m. at the Rudolf Rocker Cultural Center, which is at 91 Albert Street on the third floor above the Mondragon. I wanted to ask about, because you focus, like you said, a bit in the movie, or quite a bit, on the bombing of the Balkans. And in the late 90s, when that was going on, Lloyd Axworthy was Minister of Foreign Affairs, and he's now the Chancellor of the university that the station is broadcasting from. Does he make any kind of appearance in the film?
Absolutely. Lloyd Axworthy is in it actually a couple times, because this was also a very interesting period for him, because it was at the same time that he was starting to get nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in terms of his work around cluster bombs and the small bombs that they put and they dig in, and he had been working on that campaign to ban
landmines.
Yes, thank you. And so it's really funny how on one hand you have someone, you know, who is putting a lot of time and energy in valuable work in trying to get small arms off the market and stop being used in wars, and then on the other hand you have a situation where he's part of a government where they're actively pursuing policies that push for this idea of humanitarian bombing, which to me is a complete ironic statement, where you have thousands of people dying from the use of depleted uranium bombs, cluster bombs, and had in fact been pushing for ground troops as well. And I mean, over 10% of the bombings that were done for 78 days in the former Yugoslavia were by Canadian jets and planes and pilots, and Canada's played a very active war role. So it's very interesting when you have Lloyd Axworthy, you know, kind of wearing this very human face and social face that people in Canada very much enjoyed, but pushing policies and very much not just going along, but actively seeking policies that had devastating impacts on the people in the Balkan region.
So I wanted to ask, too, if Canada's role is more negative, or perhaps a lot more negative than a lot of Canadians think it is around the world. And you mentioned there was kind of this decline of peacekeeping. Is this something that's changed? A lot of people will point to, like, our involvement in the Korean War, our roles in arms exported to Vietnam, the whole colonial context of the country, to say it's always been this way. What's your take on this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that, you know, in terms of analysis that has to be understood, right? My argument is that from its early beginning, from its initial stage, peacekeeping was always as a tool to push a political and economic agenda, and it was not for altruistic behavior, right? It was not to just act as a benevolent helper of the world. It was in terms of making sure that Canada had a seat at the table in part of a club that wanted to ensure a certain form of dominance, economic and politically, on other parts of the world. We have to remember this is after World War II. This is the beginning of the Cold War, where we also were seeing decolonization going on. And this is something that scared many of the so-called modern countries, because they didn't want to lose their grip. And Canada also wanted to make sure that they were part of the club. So that's one thing that I try to push through the documentary and make sure that there's that analysis that comes through, because I think we take such a comfort in this idea of peacekeeping without really examining what that was to begin with. And yes, I do argue that even if you do want to buy into this idea that peacekeeping was somehow good or glorious and that we should return to these final days, that's not where the Canadian military is at right now. And we really have to stop using that language, because it does muddle this situation, and it does keep, you know, the population of Canada uninformed and uneducated about the realities of what are going on. So I don't think it's appropriate to call it peacekeeping whatsoever. It's a military force. They are acting as an army, and, you know, with an agenda that an army will have. It's an occupying force right now in Afghanistan.
In the Dominion paper, Eve Engler did a review of the movie, which he was overwhelmingly positive about. He encouraged people to see it and to use it in their communities. But he also pointed out to what he saw as a couple limitations of the movie. One was the analysis of tied aid, saying that, you know, untying aid is not necessarily a solution because aid is still used in kind of a colonial imperialist way, and also about kind of peacekeeping stuff. And it sounds like, from what you're saying already, he may just have misunderstood, but I'm interested to get your reaction to that review.
Well, my reaction would be that I certainly nowhere in the documentary advocate untying aid as an end-all solution. In fact, it's commentary from various people that were interviewed that provide the bulk of analysis. And the documentary is framed to include different voices. Yes, there is the argument that tied should be untied because that would free up literally millions of dollars that hopefully would be used in more accountable, transparent ways in terms of actual poverty reduction. I doubt that Eve would argue against that either. And I certainly don't say that's the end-all solution. I think we need to have a complete national dialogue around what our defense policies are, what our aid and development policies are, and how our military is being used, and also right now this collaboration between military and aid and development, which is very much the case in Afghanistan. So I can understand his criticism. I think one of his major points, and we've talked about it, and, you know, it's the documentary is only an hour long, and it was completely self-produced and self-funded. There was lots of footage and many interviews that had to be cut, and unfortunately, it's the biggest problem facing independent producers and, you know, folks involved in independent media is where's the funding and where's it going to come from? I'd like to think and I'd like to hope that had things been slightly different, if we had a bit bigger of a budget and a little bit more capacity to, you know, have more people collaborate on the project, it would have been longer and it would have been more extensive and elaborate. But as it is, I think we've done a really good job with a one-hour documentary that has an overview of certain myths in Canada that are very much hiding the interests of certain individuals and corporations in Canada.
Thanks, Amy. If you wanted to plug the screening once again, feel free. And if there's anything else you feel we've missed and you want to touch on, go for it, too.
Sure. I'd like to let your listeners know that they can read about the documentary and they can also watch a 10-minute demo reel of the documentary on the website wideopenexposure.com. That's www.wideopenexposure.com. It also has a list of our tour itinerary. The screening in Winnipeg is part of an 8-week cross-Canada tour where we're going to be stopping in 55 communities across the country, and it'll be going until the second week of May. So if you don't get the screening in Winnipeg and you're somewhere else, you know, there's a chance that I'll be stopping in your community and screening the documentary. So check it out. There's all the dates and the locations on the website in the tour section. And as well, if you don't manage to make it to a screening, you can buy a copy of the documentary over the website for $20.
Okay. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Marco. I really appreciate it.
Myths for Profit, Canada's Role in Industries of War and Peace will play at the Rudolf Rocker Cultural Center located on the third floor of 91 Albert Street on Sunday, April 5th at 7 p.m.